What's up, loves? This is Taking Up Space, the podcast. This is a safe space for the raw and honest conversations that we're all dying to have, and some that we probably didn't know that we needed to hear. This space is for everyone. I mean, if you're a human, then this space is for you. I'm your host, Amanda Murphy. I'm a certified intuitive eating counselor, therapist, guru, feelings facilitator, health at every size advocate, but most importantly, I'm a fellow human, just like you. I believe that we more than deserve to take up every ounce of space on this planet that was meant for us. We are meant to not only bloom, but to flourish in our bodies and to live a life that is so magical, so authentically aligned to our soul's existence, that its radiance could be seen easily from the moon, no telescope required. I'm here to guide you through breaking the cycle of the everyday rat race, ditch diet culture, turn off autopilot, and turn the volume all the way freaking up on your soul's deepest desires, your purest magic that I just know without a doubt is deep inside of you, and to help you have the healthiest, most nurturing relationship with yourself ever, mind, body, and soul. What are we waiting for? Let's dive on in. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Taking Up Space. I'm your host, Amanda Murphy, and today we are having another real ass conversation. Today, I just want to talk about something super real and super yes, girl, yes, queen, Okay, so what the heck is that you're asking? And that is, you don't have to explain to anybody what you're doing in life, why your life is the way that it is, and you don't need to, and you shouldn't, give a rat's ass what other people think about your life, how it looks and what you're doing. Because you're not missing out because you have different priorities than everybody else. You're not missing out because you're doing things differently. You're not weird. You're not wrong. You're not anything for doing things differently. You're just that, doing it differently. And I think there is, or there has become over the past, maybe decade, especially with, you know, Instagram and social media becoming a bigger part of our everyday life. And, you know, like the idea of perfection and perfect has become something that social media has made seem like it's actually real, like it's actually obtainable. And truth is, it's not. Truth is, there's no such thing as perfect perfectionism. There's just no effing such thing. But because people can curate whatever they want on Instagram, they can make their pictures look like whatever, you know, we don't really know what's going on behind the pictures that people post on Instagram, Snapchat, social media, the whole nine yards. So it can look like from somebody's social media feed that they're living it up, that they're living the life, that is perfect. And so because society and social media alike combined, they make perfect and perfection seem attainable, which is hogwash. And then they set this kind of standards or expectations. They raise the bar to a certain degree of what life is supposed to look like, what you're supposed to be doing, like what is society's standard of fun? What is society's standard of this? Like, and you know, there's different niches, however you want to say it. That's an argument for another day. But even different like niches, different categories in life, like there's a bar and a standard and an expectation for that. Like, you know, if you're somebody who's more earthy and spiritual or boho, or, you know, you live more organically, you like to, you know, be one with Mother Nature, you know, there's a niche for that. If you're more spiritual in the sense of, you know, you're really into astrology and the plants, or not the plants, the planets, and like the stars and, you know, the solar system and the moon and how it affects us, you know, there's a niche for that. And I might be muddying these. I might be, you know, doing a horrible job at describing it, but, you know, maybe you're someone who likes to live a luxurious lifestyle. You're always on these lavish vacations. I mean, like I said, I might be butchering these, but I think you get my point. It's that there's like these, I don't know, dozen or so, several little subcategories of niches of like how you're supposed to be based on who you are. You know, if you're a crafty
person, you're supposed to kind of be like this. If you're, I don't know, if you're a DIYer or a food blogger, you know, a dietitian, whatever. Social media kind of sets the standards and has this bar and this expectation of even the different subcategories of types of people. And you know what? It's just hogwash. So these expectations and this bar that people set, now it's not people. I mean, I guess it's collective and then we all fall victim to it at some point or the other. But anyways, because of these bars and these expectations that are being set by those on social media, and it's just kind of become like a collective, it really disrupts our idea of how we're supposed to be and what our life is supposed to look like, what we're supposed to be doing for fun. And so anytime, what are we doing for careers even? What do we do for our jobs? So where this becomes a big problem is because when we try to show up authentically, when we try to show up as our true selves, doing what feels true to ourselves, true to our soul's desire, true to our calling, true to our higher power, true to ourselves in the truest form of that definition of that saying, it sometimes can feel very weird and very strange. Even in our own bodies, it can feel very strange and it can look strange to other people. But what other people think about what you're doing doesn't matter. And likewise, I think, oh, with that being said, we can't talk about this without saying that when other people, when their life and what they're doing seems so bizarre to you, or it seems like out of ordinary, or it's like, I wouldn't do that. How are they living a life that is fun for them? Like, how is their life feel meaningful? How does their life feel fun? How does their career bring them joy? Like, I would hate that. Like, that's, I think, a perfect example is we all think of other people. We all see what they're doing. We all, you know, even our friends, our closer acquaintances, like, you know, you see what they're doing in life. You talk about their, we talk about things that are going on in our day-to-day lives, our accomplishments, our goals, our careers, our everything. And so there might be somebody that you can think of, like, that you say, oh, I don't know how they stand that job. Or I don't know how their relationship with their significant other works. Like, that would just not work for me. Or that just seems so weird. Or that just seems so messed up. Or that just seems so miserable. Or, oh, I would be so upset by that. Or things like that. You know, those are just examples. But when you see somebody else's life or something about their life and it doesn't make sense to you, that's okay. Like, that's okay. It doesn't have to look perfect to you. It doesn't have to look like it makes sense to you. It doesn't have to make sense to you at all. But the same goes for you in your life. You and your life and your decisions don't have to make sense to anybody else. It just has to make sense to you and it has to feel good. And I think in order to feel more grounded and more unwavering and more sure and more valid in the decisions that you make for yourself in your life, you have to realize that the only person it makes sense to is you. But in order to really fully do that, I think you have to stop looking at everybody else and everybody else's life and everybody else's choices and stop questioning them. Stop trying to make sense of them. If they seem weird, if they seem offbeat, if they seem obscured, don't worry about it. They're not for you. They're not your choices. So once you stop questioning everything else you see, everybody else's path, and you just start worrying about your own, that's a great step number one. And then step number two is making sure that the steps that you're taking in life, the choices you're making, the things that you're doing feel good for you. Not that they look a certain way, not that it's going to make sense to anybody else, but that it feels good to you. And number three is you don't have to explain it to anybody else. Like, you do not owe anybody else an explanation for why you're doing what you're doing. And it doesn't have to look good to anybody else. You don't have to justify it. You don't have to validate it to somebody else. So if somebody comes at you questioning a choice you're making, what you're doing in life, your relationship, whatever it is, then, you know, you can explain if you feel like it, but just know you don't have to. You do not owe anybody an explanation for doing what truly makes you happy and what feels good to you. You don't owe anybody an explanation. And, you know, I think part of why we get in this place of not following our true aligned path for our soul's purpose and doing the things that really make us feel good and aligned and fulfilled from deep within our soul is because we do have a concern of what other people are going to say. We do, you know, think about what other people might think, and that's just hogwash. That's just malarkey. And then going back to this part of it where social media creates this idea of expectations or perfectionism and all of the standards that it sets that we feel if we're not striving to meet those standards and we're not, you know, doing what the status quo is doing, then that's weird, or that can make us feel uncomfortable, or we can question what feels right to us because it doesn't look like what we see majority of the time, what we see the majority of people doing. And I think even if with the best intentions, sometimes subconsciously, we can still be comparing our desires to what we see others doing. And I think that definitely can be found in a lot of different areas of our life, you know, with mothers comparing how they parent to other mothers and how other children behave, thinking of business owners and entrepreneurs, when you see online entrepreneurs, you know, online business owners, whether it's, you know, offering a service or with physical products, you see how others are doing it. You see how the majority of people are doing it. And then you compare how you're doing it to how they're doing it. And even if you have the best intentions, I do feel that sometimes subconsciously it has us questioning how we view things. And a lot of times I know in my personal experience, I've tried so hard to do things the way that other people appear to be doing it. And it appeared that when they were doing it this way, it was working for them. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's working for me. And also, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's even working for them. You know, we often see things like that from an outsider's perspective. And we don't know, maybe they're just curating the appearance that it's working. They're putting on a face that it's working. They created it to look like it's something that it's not. And so you don't even truly know. So that's why following what feels good to you, what feels like it's working for you, and ditching what doesn't feel good and what isn't working for you, regardless of what anybody else is doing, what anybody else says, that is how you're going to move the needle the farthest, the quickest. That is how you're going to gain the most momentum and how you're going to hit the ground running and find success in whatever you do the quickest, because you're not listening to the outside noise of what everybody else is doing. You're not getting caught up in paying attention to every other possible source of how-tos. You're not listening to the noise of the expectations or the opinions of others. You're not listening to what everybody else is doing and trying to just copy and make, you know, the same mold over and over again. You know, it's the best way to get where you want to go the quickest is when you turn out or turn down all of that noise and turn the volume all the way up on your soul's voice. And that's what the whole basis of everything that I try to get myself to do and what I try to teach others and instill in others is that your soul's voice should be the loudest, and it should be the only one that truly matters in everything that you do. And if you're compromising your soul's voice for any reason, you're going to end up in a situation where you just aren't the happiest. You're not going to feel fulfilled the way that you should be, the way that you could be. And, you know, that doesn't mean you won't feel good, but it could keep you from feeling great. You know, it could be the difference between feeling good and feeling great in what you're doing and where you're at and how your life is going. It could really be that slight of a difference. And so, you know, not following your soul's voice, not listening to your deepest desires and what feels good to you and what feels right for you can be good, but it can be holding you back from great. And that's not to say sometimes we have to hold back. We have to make decisions that don't feel the greatest, but we know that it's getting us from good to great. Like, it's keeping us good right now, and it's going to get us to great. But tuning out the outside noise is definitely going to help. And you're not missing out on anything. Your success and your joy, your fulfillment, your wildest dreams coming true are still happening. You are not missing out on anything because you have different priorities than everybody else. You are not missing out on anything because you are doing things differently than anybody else. Just because you're doing something and it looks nothing like somebody else has ever done, or it is just a way that you see less people doing it, whatever, it doesn't mean it's wrong. It doesn't mean you're not going to achieve everything that you want to achieve. It doesn't mean that success is not coming for you, that dreams come true are not coming for you, that a life full of meaning and joy is not coming for you. You're not missing out because you have different priorities. You have a different method than everybody else. Okay. I hope that this quickie episode really just resonated with you. I hope that it spoke to you in the way that I know it speaks to my soul and to my inner voice and my inner critic. And it's just a reminder that I constantly give myself because it's important to me. And I know that it can really move mountains for you if you keep this in the forefront of your mind and you strive each and every day to tune out all the outside noise and all the outside distractions on what everybody else is doing, how they're living their life. Just focus on you and what your soul is calling you to do, what your soul is leading you, what direction it's leading you, because that's going to just move the needle of your life in the direction you want to go the quickest. I promise you that, loves. All right, until next time, have a wonderful day. Have a wonderful week. Stay safe. I love you. Until next time.
Hey guys, thanks for joining me on another episode of Taking Up Space, the podcast. And if you're loving these episodes as much as I am, please, the best thing that you can do to show your love and appreciation is to share the podcast episodes with those that mean the most to you, with those that you feel would appreciate and get something so beneficial out of these episodes, because that is the sole purpose, is to reach as many people as we can and to help affect and change so many lives for the better. So I love that you were here with me, and until next time, guys, bye.